It's not you, it's me. If you ever had those words spoken to you, usually it's at a place of great disappointment. Someone is breaking up with you. It's not you, it's me. But I actually think if we want to crystallize the theological kind of point of the Reformation, in many ways that captures it. It's not you, it's me. Except that's what Jesus says to us. Martin Luther, of course, was a monk, and in his zeal to be holy and to establish himself as righteous, he would go to confession incessantly, and he would confess his sins over and over and over, to which the priest finally had to say, "Come back when you've done something real." But Martin Luther, as a monk, when he read the word, saw something different. Instead of seeing God as an angry judge, ready and almost eager to find out all of our sins, as he read books like Romans and the passage we've just heard, and the other passages in the New Testament, as he studied the ministry and life of Jesus, he saw something different. He discovered for himself God's amazing grace, that we are justified, which is just a fancy way of saying that we are declared righteous, we are declared good, eligible for eternal life. We are justified by grace through faith apart from works of the law. In other words, salvation is a gift. And as Luther discovered this amazing truth that our salvation is not by our merit, it's not by our good works, it's a gift of God's grace, that what Jesus does on the cross for you, for me, and for the world accomplishes everything. And that God's word to Luther and to us is, it's not you, it's me. I got this for you. And so Luther, in the face of the corrupt practice of selling indulgences, which instead of saying, by your good merit you get to heaven, was you can buy a certificate and that gets you into heaven. He could not help but speak out. And of course, we know that Luther's desire was not to start a new church, but to reform. He was a reformer. He wanted it to get back to the basics, to the fundamentals, by grace through faith, apart from works of the law. Preach and teach the gospel. Tell people the liberating, powerful, life-changing good news that they don't have to worry about themselves and their eternal fate. They don't have to be scared about what will happen at the end of their life, because Christ has already accomplished everything. So if you're like Luther, prone to introspection, reflecting on all those things that maybe you didn't quite do well in your life, the places where you've fallen short, or maybe just didn't quite live up to God's vision for your life, then today, among every day here, it's not you, it's me. Jesus does it for you. You don't have to worry about yourself. Christ has already accomplished this amazing reconciliation, and righteousness, justification is for you a gift. Now, this parable that we heard, that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, has a different twist on this. And Jesus tells this parable, and he says, this is really for those who aren't thinking poorly of themselves like Luther was, who thought he never could measure up. It's for those who might just be a little bit overconfident. And it features a Pharisee and a tax collector. And like many of the teachings of Jesus, this parable and the lesson it carries would have been shocking for those who heard it. Pharisees, as much as they are pitted against Jesus in his ministry, Pharisees were respected. They were leaders of their community. They studied God's word. They were very, very precise in their understanding and interpretation of those laws and commandments. They had been singled out as being the very best students of Scripture and had been set apart for their role as a leader. Tax collectors, we know something about them. Tax collectors were working on behalf of the Roman Empire to collect taxes in a most often corrupt way. They would collect taxes from Jewish citizens to give back to Rome. And everyone hated tax collectors because they cheated people. And they were working on behalf of this foreign occupying power. And so what Jesus tells us in this parable is that the Pharisee, a leader in the community, stands before God, comes to worship, and says, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like all the bad people, the thieves, the rogues, and yes, this guy over here, the tax collector. Instead, I give of my income, and I fast, and I follow all of the provisions of the law, and isn't that great? Thank you, God, for making me so good." Now, that might be a slight exaggeration, but some of us can get to the place where we have a bit of an ego, a puffed-up image of ourselves, whether that's in a material aspect or a spiritual one. The tax collector, of course, comes before God, beating his chest, and says, "Have mercy on me, I am a sinner." And then Jesus says, "Which of them went away justified?" And it's the sinner who asks for repentance. But before we make this overly simplistic of be humble, don't have a big ego about your spiritual life, consider for a moment that the Pharisee wasn't always a Pharisee. It took a lifetime of effort and work to get to the place of being a leader. And in that position of leader, it's not that he was doing the wrong things. It says he was fasting according to commandments, tithing his income according to the commandments, and of course, probably many other things, all of which are commendable. There are spiritual practices that the Bible teaches us that help us to grow and maintain our relationship with God, all of which are good. But what the Pharisee seems to have lost is the attitude, "It's not you, it's me." At a certain point, this Pharisee says, "It's me." And God looks at me and has a big smile on his face. When we lose our humility, when we lose the ability to look at ourselves and see how we fall short, because we all do. We all fall short in word, in deed, in things we have done, and things we have failed to do. We fall short. Unless we can look at ourselves honestly and see that, and see that's why Jesus came. Jesus came into this world and gave his life for us because we can't be righteous without him. We, no matter how good you are, you will never measure up. We always need Jesus. Now, the flip side of this parable only works if the tax collector repents. Because it's one thing to say, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. And it's quite another to say, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. You receive forgiveness, and then you are transformed in your daily walk. Being forgiven is not a permission slip to go on in your life of lawbreaking, of hurting neighbor, sinning against God. Repentance and forgiveness is to allow us the opportunity to have a transformed, changed life, to give us a new start. It's not you, it's me. God's work in our lives is what makes the difference. And it's not about perfection. It's not about getting it right. It's about knowing that we are a child of God and that Christ has done everything for us. And how will we respond to that amazing gift of grace? What will your life be? With the blessings you have received, how can you be a blessing? Martin Luther took his stand, not quite on this day, but October 31st, 1517, 508 years ago. He took his stand, not knowing at the time what his journey would entail. He thought he was having an academic dialogue with church leaders. But instead, because he stood on the primacy of God's word, that he had found for himself and could not help but share it with the world, this good news that by grace, through faith, apart from works of the law, we are justified. We are declared righteous. That anything contrary to that gospel, he could not stand. And so he proclaimed faith as he knew it. He stood and said, Jesus says to you, to me, and to the world, it's not you, it's me. I have done it. That through Christ's death and resurrection, we have this most powerful gift. Today we celebrate. We celebrate Martin Luther and all that goes with the Reformation, but let us keep our eyes on the thing that matters the most, the power of the gospel, the power of eternal life, a promise for you that can never be taken from you, that in Christ has already been accomplished. And Jesus says, it's not you, it's me. Amen.